G'day, Jamie.
How you doing?
You spent time as a skateboarder. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was about 9, I think I was at the Royal Easter Show in Sydney, and if anyone else has been there, you'll know about these infamous kind of prize bags that you buy. And mine had a very cheap little skateboard in it that I just kind of took home and became quite obsessed with, and then that led to all sorts of great opportunities and injuries. And so, that took me around the world on a number of tours, competitions, and whatnot. And that's the kind of nutshell of my skateboarding life.
I tried them once and I called them ankle breakers ever since.
Yeah, fair enough.
You've done some time as well as a film producer. What type of films?
Yeah, so my background was sort of between writing, directing, and producing, and on an array of different films. Brian, I'd say the most notable sort of project I worked on was a six-part documentary series in association with Ford, which was chronicling the sort of unbelievable story about Steve McQueen's Bullet Mustang from that classic film. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And so, but at the end of the day, I really see myself as a storyteller above anything. So above any specific genre of sort of project that I've worked on, or even size, fundamentally, I see it as the job of telling a story and trying to tell it well. So I've worked across lots of different projects and genres and whatnot. And that's the thing that interests me most is just telling a good story.
I do say that every time I see a Mustang on the road, I get a little bit envious.
Me too.
And now you've turned to music.
Well, it was while I was living over in the States working on that documentary. I just took myself on a little tour. I was living in the South, and I thought, well, how am I going to get to know this place in a way that matters to me? And I'd spent a lot of time in the States growing up skateboarding on tours and things, but not that much in the South. So I thought, what's the kind of culture that I connect with here? And I thought, well, music, really. I'd love to get to know more of the kind of history of the music in the South, because I'd grown up watching films like Walk the Line and Crossroads and different things where it kind of built this myth of that world. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go visit that Sun Studio place. And so I took myself over there for a little trip, and just honestly, I expected it to be a kind of just an ordinary kind of museum sort of thing. My expectations weren't high. You visit places where historic events have happened, and sometimes it just feels a bit sanitary and sterile, and just like, okay, I took that off the list, but wasn't really overwhelming. But I had the opposite experience there. There was just some kind of electricity in the room. That's all I could really say. I'm just so many heroes of mine having walked through those doors, and it just sort of set something off in me. Now, I'd been dabbling with music some years before that, but never really had the courage to take it seriously and didn't really give it that space in my life. Now, after that, I just sort of reckoned with the fact that I sort of loved music as a creative process and as an ends in and of itself so much that I just wanted to do anything I could to try to spend as much time making music and learning how to try to make a sustainable sort of living through it if I could. So I'm shooting that for that right now, and that's the brief little story of the kind of final, I guess, transition that kind of pushed me into it.
I do remember I visited the Sun Studios in Memphis in 2017.
Yeah.
There's an eerie feeling when you're in there about
Yeah.
it's like there were ghosts in the place, reminding you
That's
of
how it
all the great people who've gone through it.
Absolutely. And I've been to other places with great people as well, but this was different. And I think part of it too, Brian, was that it's still a functioning recording studio. So that made it feel less kind of just nostalgic and detached, and more like this is a way you can kind of be actually linked to that incredible history and that incredible story, which of course then I went on to record my first single there, and that was a really special moment for me.
You played at Tamworth last month. I presume Tamworth being the 50th was a very exciting event.
It was an amazing event, Brian. Yeah, my first time I'd visited, but and since I'd come back from England not long before that, I hadn't had any plans to really play anywhere officially. And I just thought, you know what? Enough awesome people are going who have been really encouraging and supportive to me. I want to go check it out and just be part of it. And sure enough, one thing led to another, and I ended up playing about a handful of gigs. And And I had an absolute blast. A particular highlight for me was getting on stage for Michael Carpenter and the Banks Brothers had a final show, and they absolutely knocked it out of the park. And they were very generous to invite friends and things up on stage afterwards. And they got me up for a song. We did Folsom Prison Blues, and mate, it was just something else. Playing with musicians of that caliber is a very humbling experience, and I'm very thankful to have been a part of that.
Now, you've got a new single out called Adam Blues, Cheeky Spin on an Ancient Story. Is that Adam of Adam and Eve fame?
That's correct, Ryan, yeah.
What's it about, that song?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I spent some time in the States, and while I was living there writing these songs after I'd visited Sun, I woke up with a really bad headache one morning, and I'd been in the habit of writing songs before I started my workday. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll hobble over to the upright piano I had there. It was an out-of-tune kind of ragtimey piano. And I started sort of mashing on the keys with this headache. And I just started singing out loud, kind of riffing. And it started with the lyric, "I got a royal headache this morning." And then I just sort of followed that line. "I need a Novocaine so deep. I got a royal headache." And I didn't know where this was going. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, I'm just kind of brainstorming. I came up with a line, "And a name is Eve." And I thought, whoa, what was that? What, you know, what could that be? You know, that, you know, I could be going 1,000 directions. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be an interesting concept to sort of write, quote unquote, the world's first blues song, so to speak? You know, Adam wakes up the day after all's gone to crap, and he's just kind of singing out his blues, you know, picking up on some of the themes in that story. He's blame shifting, you know, none of it's his fault. And he's just having a bit of a whinge. But I thought, hey, I think I could spin something together that's like clever and riffing on those themes. And I would hope a little bit eternally relevant to, you know, the strife between guys and girls. And it's just a fun song, you know. And I think I was really, really thankful to be able to work with the people I did on that track as well. Stephen Potosek, the producer, is extraordinary on the keys as well as obviously producing, and so that really brought it to life, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, it was just I never really have an agenda when I start writing. I start writing things, and then I catch glimpses of little fragments, and then I try to unfold them and unpack them and go, what direction do you want to take me in here, song, and what clothes do you want to wear? And that was just the direction it took me in, and had a lot of fun along the way.
Jamie, thank you. It's been good to talk. All the best for the future.
Absolutely, Brian. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope to chat again soon. I got a royal headache this morning. I need a Novocaine so deep. I got a royal headache and a name is Yesterday, in my garden, worries are miles away. Snakes and ladders don't put